Peter Wallace here, and on this Day One Podcast Extra, we're delighted to welcome back the Reverend Dr. Alan Hunt. Alan is Senior Minister of Mount Pisgah United Methodist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia, and host of The Alan Hunt Show every Sunday evening on News Talk 750 WSB in Atlanta. Alan, welcome back.
Thank you, Peter.
On this edition of our Podcast Extra, I wanted to talk a little bit more about your church ministry. We talked about your personal life, your radio program in our last podcast. But sketch for us the history of Mount Pisgah. I know it's been around for many years, but in many ways it's a very contemporary church. Tell us about the scope of history there.
Well, Mount Pisgah was started in 1831 by a Methodist circuit rider, a woman named Mrs. Martin, who crossed over the Chattahoochee River on horseback to preach to the settlers on the other side of the river. And we're about, about a mile from that site now. And for the first 150 years or so, this part of Georgia was very, very rural. And so Mount Pisgah was a small rural church, mainly farmers. And then in the early 1980s, as Atlanta began to really explode, a new highway opened up that really kind of made our part of Atlanta develop and brought in large populations of folks. And Mount Pisgah, under my predecessor, Dr. Warren Latham, really did an outstanding job of maintaining their focus on being about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ rather than serving themselves. And that, as you know, Peter, is very, very hard to do in a church that's been around for 150 years. And they were able to kind of make that transition. A lot of churches in our community were not able to make that transition. Most of the strong churches in our community now are newer churches who have come since the people have arrived. But Mount Pisgah was able to bridge that gap and to maintain what we call an updated traditional feel and style. We're not a completely contemporary church, nor are we a traditional United Methodist church. We have a updated traditional style of worship and a very mission-oriented outlook on life.
You have a number of services every Sunday. Are they essentially the same, or do you do different things?
We have two large worship experiences in our sanctuary that are the same, and again, they're updated traditional with choir, mm-hmm. with a mix of types of music, and then we have a very simple 8 o'clock worship each Sunday that's hymns and a piano with communion, and then we have a Hispanic worship at 2 o'clock, and we have a teenage worship at 11 o'clock that's completely edgy and innovative, mm-hmm. And then several different children's worship experiences on Sunday morning as well. So I think if you put them all together, there's about 9 or 10 different worship experiences going on any given Sunday.
Well, as you mentioned, Mount Pisgah was able to really respond to the changes and growth of the community and provide services and outreaches that were needed and wanted. How does that happen? How would you counsel local congregations to respond to their communities in that way?
Well, some folks describe it as scratch where folks itch. Mm-hmm. And Mount Pisgah, as that area grew, identified certain kinds of needs that people had or wants that they had. For example, one of those was a recreation program, because as that area grew, there wasn't public recreation in any meaningful way, and so the church stepped in and said, we'll provide recreation for kids. Well, that grew ultimately into a ministry that at one time served over 5,000 kids a mm-hmm. year, and was a huge, huge connection and portal for people to come in contact with Mount Pisgah. So I think the lesson there is to really look at the community and look at the kinds of needs and wants that are out there and create opportunities that are non-threatening, that are easy to engage with, whether it be recovery groups or whether it be mentoring in the local school or different kinds of things, to build bridges and to build relationships in the community where people begin to see the church as a place of hope and help and healing.
Well, how do you discover those needs in the community? Is there a way to actually poll people in the community? Or?
I think that's one way. I think a lot of it is trial and error. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've got to be willing to fail. Some things work and some things don't, and that's okay. And you listen, and I think it's important for the pastor to be out in the community a lot rather than simply visiting his own congregation, but spending a lot of time with people who don't go to church anywhere and just listening to them and listening to different things, not even asking questions about what do you want, what do you need, but just listening to different kinds of things. And if you begin to see themes that emerge over and over and over again, you go, you know, we might could step up and help there. And then also listen to the lay people in the congregation. The incredible ministries at Mount Pisgah, most of them were started by lay people who simply felt this is something I would like to do. This is not something I want the church to do. This is something I want to do, and I'd like the church to support me in it. And that's where our crisis pregnancy center, that's where our counseling center that serves about 80% of the people who are served in it don't go to church at Mount Pisgah. That's where our recreation ministry, frankly, that's where our preschool started, was all those kinds of things were lay people that said, I'd like to see us do this, and I'm willing to lead it.
How do you see your role as the senior minister of this large and active church? Obviously, you have a large staff.
I think my role is really is the chief prayer and the chief vision caster and the figurehead leader. And really, that figurehead leader means to bring on as good of a staff as I can in every area, because the scope is far too wide for me to be managing or running different areas with a hands-on style. And so to bring on good folks and to turn them loose and to be the vision caster for the whole congregation and to be the one who's continually lifting us all up in prayer and encouraging others to do the same.
One of the most important aspects, I think, of Mount Pisgah is its passion for being a global church. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that. What does that mean exactly? How does it play out in the life of the congregation?
Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, and our vision is to do that what we call here, there, and everywhere. And the everywhere part of that is to have a dynamic disciple-making ministry partnership on each continent of the globe. So we have a full-time global pastor, and we have identified different parts of the world that we want to have dynamic partnerships with, not just people that we're sending money to, but ministries that we actually partner with, that we go there, they come here, we pray for each other, we communicate, we help support them financially, all of those. So it's a full blown, so that we're really a global family. We're not just Mount Pisgah and Alpharetta sending money around the world, but that we're really one global Mount Pisgah family. And so we have lay people who each lead one of those strategic partnerships, you know, one that's focused on the island of St. Lucia, one that's focused on Venezuela, and so on. And so the full-time global pastor works with each of those lay people to help equip them so that they're coordinating mission trips, that they're interfacing with the people we're partnering with in the other countries, and they're working the budgets together. So it's really it's lay-led and lay-driven and staff-coordinated and staff-managed.
I would imagine that most, if not all, of the outreaches that Mount Pisgah has, both in the community and globally, help open the eyes of your members to situations and needs that they may never have seen or known about in their middle and upper class lenses. Is that an important thing that a church should be doing, do you think?
Yeah, it's huge in a lot of ways, Peter. It's huge in that, first of all, when folks ask me in my congregation, what's one thing I can do that will really jumpstart my spiritual life, I always tell them three things. Either go on a Walk to Emmaus retreat, or do a Crown Bible study, or go on one of our global mission teams. Mm-hmm. Because there's no way that you can go be in partnership with the people that we work with in every continent of the globe and not be dramatically changed by that and dramatically changed by the grace of God in those settings. Because what we discover, often back to the sermon that I preached about not trusting in things but trusting in God, is that those people have a lot to teach us about trusting in God because they don't have things to trust in. And their faith is much, much stronger and much, much more pure oftentimes than ours, because ours has gotten muddled in with all of our stuff. And I learned the other day that where we're located on the map, that if just north of us, if you put a dot and you had a 10-mile radius, that where Mount Pisgah is located, that is the wealthiest 10-mile radius in the country. Wow. In terms of per capita income. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be if you did a 5-mile or a 3-mile, but for a 10-mile radius, there's that little poverty. And so it's really important for not only for our children and our teenagers, but for our adults to be outside of that, not just domestically, but internationally, to see what God is doing around the world, and then it's not really about how much you have, and that there's no other way. I can't tell you how used to stuff you are. You have to experience it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Alan Hunt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.